How's it all going?
Good.
How's it all stopping?
Good.
Well, here we are with the last little short momentary period to go. And the only thing you've got left are some tests tomorrow. Have to do with IQ tests and so forth, and that determines to some slight degree whether your certificate is stamped green or orange. But we had to invent a brand new seal for this particular unit, for several cases in it, and that was plus gold, and then we had to invent another one which was minus zero. But we managed it. Anyway, it's a very good thing here to wind up this unit on a cheerful note. This is the first ACC for a very, very long time where we had total course completion. And that is pretty doggone good. It's never happened before that I recall. So thank you very much. Now, there are tremendous numbers of things which I didn't tell you during the course, and I'll have to write you a letter about them. They're not very important, really. They have to do with processing and processes of one kind or another. But you made it. You made it live. That was news to me, in some respects. And you did a very good job of pushing other people through this. I want to thank you for that. I think you actually have done very fine. The only ACC which was to any degree comparable to the amount of success achieved and so forth was, if I remember rightly, there were three, really, before this, which were quite different than earlier ACCs, and those were the 15, 16, and 17. And the people wound up in those units looking very bright indeed. But this one has well exceeded any of those three. Well, you've really done a very fine job. I want to give you a little bit of data that might be of interest to you. From here on, the research is not south, to hell with that. We can crack cases. You should realize that CCH basic steps are applied all the way south, and just in case you ever get fooled, run them on everybody. Got that? I mean, they take in all the way south. Also, they work quite well on upper-scale cases, and if you always take in people all the way south with CCH, 1, 2, 3, 4, you will just never lay any eggs. Now, there is today an official version of CCH-1 called CCH-1B, which is Don't Give Me That Hand. This has been tested and has been found tremendously workable. It works as an alternate, but not as an alternating process. Once you run, give me that hand, and flatten it a bit, then you would run, don't give me that hand. Actually, if you've got a case that is way down in the basement someplace, don't give me that hand is the first one you run. And they really explode all over the room. It's one of the more interesting manifestations. Get somebody who is stark, staring, goofy, and you don't think you're communicating with him at all, and you just sit down in a chair and start a tone 40, don't give me that hand. And all of his covert bestiality starts rolling off at an enormous rate of speed. Quite amazing. Now, this works extremely well on children. It has not been tested on comatose people who are unconscious, but nevertheless, It possibly has some workability there. Now, for a person who is lying in bed, there is another one which proves efficacious, and that is some command which tells them to put that body in that bed, you know, or make that body lie in that bed. Some very factual command. Thank you. Make that body lie in that bed. Thank you. Now, the person is unconscious, and evidently one of two things will happen if this happens. If the person is close to death anyway, they're liable to come to enough and get enough control to just kick off. Wham, you see. Or come around and bring the body back, too. Now, factually, to a Scientologist, we don't care which. I mean that. We don't care which. I'm not being funny. You talk about some overwhelming, the overwhelming of a person's self-determinism. Nothing compares to making them live when they would rather die. Now, once in a while, out of orneriness, you can run a process on somebody who is absolutely convinced that the reason they should have auditing is to put the body in the chair, kick it off, and leave you holding the bag. You'll run into these once in a great while. I myself have run into three. Well, there is a method of making them go on and survive, which is almost a dirty trick, which is to mock themselves up dead. They do that a few times, and they run out the facsimiles on which they're counting to help them kick the bucket. And they go on living. You got that? Now, that is a process which makes somebody live. Mark yourself up dead. Or you mock up a dead body. Doesn't matter which. It's not a very therapeutic process. It simply prevents this death from occurring. You've got that. But somebody who's a comatose, you process them, make that body lie in that bed, something like that. It will go either way, probably that direction which the person feels best. But their self-determinism has been overwhelmed to a marked degree by the various vicissitudes of fortune, and all that process does is return their self-determinism to them. They say, well, there's no sense in keeping this thing running, and they kick off and find another one. I'll tell you why that is. The total trick of brainwashing, this is another little item I've got to give you here, the total trick of brainwashing is to make somebody postulate that he's going to survive. The total modus operandi of a surprise is simply to make somebody postulate that he's going to survive. You got that? Now, for something that can't do anything else but survive, to postulate that it's going to survive creates a very interesting state of beingness. It mocks up the potential of non-survival. In other words, instead of being relaxed about going on living, this fellow now mocks up the potential of non-survival and begins to dodge from living while determining to survive. For instance, a whole regiment back in the war between the states would occasionally turn into a complete rout. Everybody had decided to survive at that moment. And oddly enough, to survive is not to confront. These are two different things. Surviving is not confronting. These people have decided to run and live another day, and they get shot down in their tracks, and dead bodies are spattered all over the terrain. An individual has a threat to his health and decides after that he's going to have good health. He's on what? He's on one side of a dichotomy. He leaves all bad health then on automatic. For an individual to postulate that he's going to survive is to make him leave all succumb on automatic. Therefore, everything can happen to him after that. This is the trick of brainwashing, and I impart this to you in some confidence for this reason. The Russian does not know it. This is something he doesn't know that he is doing. Any one of you could make Russian brainwashing so much more workable that it's grim to believe that there is no check on our information lines. I work it the other way around. I'm hoping that someday a great deal of this material will be broadly circulated throughout Russia. You remember the story about Detroit? The 14 cops, and I think 12 of them resigned from the force. Something on that order. In other words, they were supposed to listen to these tapes to get bad information and reel up a case, and they said, oh, so the state is attacking this sort of thing, is it? And they resigned. They're quite interesting, and I think you'd find the Russian doing the thing similarly. So it isn't totally bad that the information get to them. It'd only be bad if this information only, tailor-made, only to brainwash people got to them. Get the idea? Give them the whole story, not part of it. Now, if we can get somebody to postulate that he's only going to be good, he leaves bad on automatic. Do you see that? It makes an unbalanced life. Since good and bad, and to a Thetan, survive and succumb are simply considerations. They're no more than that. There's many a fellow who is suffering badly in life, who has only one thing wrong with him. He is being good. And he does some of the most vicious, underhanded, dirty tricks to his fellow man. And he can't understand how they occur because he knows that his intentions are just to be good. But all of these automatic badnesses happen in the person's vicinity. Got that? Now, one of the biggest religious tricks which is played on any populace is to make everybody be totally good. And they all die. Because then we classify disease as bad, and they have no control over it. We classify death as bad, and immediately they have no control over that. Now, this is throwing people out of control, isn't it? So an understanding of these factors really is necessary for a whole population to live a decent sort of life. Now, the way you make people lead a good life is to put them in control of their lives, not to make them postulate they're going to survive, or postulate they're going to be good, or postulate they're going to sin no more. This sort of thing is definitely detrimental because it knocks out 50% of the control. We say, now, promise me you will be good. Fellas, all right, I'll be good. I'm going to be good. Yes, I've seen the light. I've repented because the kingdom is at hand, and all is well. I shall now, after this, be good. Well, what is this thing good? It's just some consideration. After that, it is only necessary to tell people what is good, and this person will be it, don't you see? So we could say, well, now, being good is paying everything you own into the exchequer. That's being good. Permitting yourself to be eaten at priestial feasts up on the rock above Mexico City. That's being good. Get the idea? All we have to do then is define the consideration of what is good. There is an oddity. There is no thing that is bad in one society that isn't good in some other society. There is nothing immoral on the face of the earth that isn't moral somewhere. So we get this great philosophic enigma. What is bad? What is good? What is desirable conduct? Well, Confucius laid down a bunch of desirable conducts of one kind or another, and he certainly made a government capable of controlling a people. Confucius is the patron saint of Chinese government since time immemorial, until this one. And this one is going to be very sorry, because they don't realize that there's a hidden philosophy running back of all Chinese civil service and so forth that keeps them into a slavery. And they've come along and they fed them something straight out of Karl Marx's delusions about the American Civil War. You probably didn't know it, but the American Civil War was what influenced Karl Marx to turn antisocial. You didn't know that?
No.
Well, that's true. He was over here, and he saw what he supposed to be industrial giants condemning labor to misery, starvation, death.
He even claimed to have seen a 12-year-old boy who died at his post in a factory thrown onto a scrap heap here in America. We never find any of these things in American history, but Karl Marx seems to have found them here. And this inspired him to go back and write Das Kapital. It was his experience here which caused him to write Das Kapital, which is what makes America Russia's number one target. Out of a network of lies about what's bad, good, something, we get civilizations. But if you wanted a civilization to advance or to achieve anything, it would have to have within it enlightened people. That would be vitally necessary. The whole post of sage, philosopher, wise man, soothsayer, and so forth was long since relegated to the dustbin in the United States. A philosopher is somebody who sits alongside of a cracker barrel in a country store and makes wisecracks. I think that was the last well-known definition of what a philosopher is. Nevertheless, although this country does not know it, it is totally starved for guidance throughout its ranks. And that guidance, then, isn't the kind of guidance where we say everybody should get down and worship the great god Baal or the great god Mula. That isn't the sort of guidance it needs at all. The guidance it needs is very easily stated, and that is guidance which permits the individual to reassume control of his own destiny. That's the sort of guidance this society at this time needs. If it gets that guidance, it will live. It will be a good society. If it doesn't, we'll have not Earth going around the sun, but a billiard ball. Project Billiard Ball is going on at great pace right down here at the AEC. Now, to rehabilitate any person, it is only necessary to rehabilitate his control of his environment. He isn't rehabilitated to the degree that that control is impeded. We were perfectly right once upon a time when we said self-determinism is the solution. Yes, but self-determinism we didn't understand too well. Self-determinism must carry with it an element of control, or it is a series of failures. If an individual determines that something be so, and then he has no way to make it so, in other words, the control factor is missing, then he is nothing but a failure. And out of these failures are made broken lives. Now, an individual, then, must be able to control his environment. But here is a great oddity. An individual must also be capable of being controlled. Just as we make the individual postulate survival and let succumb stay an automaticity, so when an individual is placed in a position where he himself controls things, a failure to rehabilitate his being controlled thereby leaves all other control beyond his own on automatic, and it makes that an automaticity, and that too can sweep him up, sweep him into a fascism, sweep him into socialistic economic nonsense of some sort or another. In other words, he becomes very easy to control the moment that control of him is left on automatic. Therefore, this is something that he must know something about, and this is something that he must be able to tolerate. And between the two buttons, the one that is suffering is his inability to withstand or answer up to control of self. Hence, the lower steps of CCH are terrifically workable. This is where the individual is starved, and this is where he is victimized. Now, that control is leveled at the person, leveled at his attention, and leveled at his thinkingness. And unless these three things can be controlled, unless he himself discovers that they can be controlled without his dying, then he becomes the victim of every control that seeks to enslave him. So to have a free society, you get this great oddity that an individual in the society must not only be capable of controlling himself and his environment, but he himself must be capable of being controlled. Now, there's practically no such thing as controlling yourself. There's practically no such thing as this, and we have most control centering on this. We have in the armed services in several countries right at this moment this great lie. He who would learn to command must first learn to obey himself. Isn't that an oddity? Now, if they said this sincerely, he who would learn to command must first learn to obey, I would say that they were hoping that when he was first learning to obey, he would forget how to command. And I wouldn't put these things first or second. As he learns to command, so must he also learn to obey. And that becomes a true statement. The only thing that's wrong with any person you will ever meet in this society at this time is that he cannot withstand control exterior to himself, and so becomes a complete dupe for anything that would control him. And unless his tolerance for exterior control is built up, he will continue to be a dupe. And the society has lots of those. There is no shortage of supply today of potential slaves. Now, all of this could begin very easily and very well way down in the kindergarten of our public school system. One of these days, in very, very short order, I'm not just giving you a lecture on this. I'm telling you very factually that beyond the fact that we ought to make the society better, we ought to do this, we ought to do that, there is a central modus operandi contained in control itself, which tells us what an individual would be capable of if he was in good, very good condition. He could command, determine, control, whatever you want to call it, and he could be commanded, determined, controlled, don't you see? If everybody in the society was in that condition, you would have a tremendous society. You would find various things in the society which are considered evil today would fade away. Now, you're on no mission to go out and tell people to be good. That's for true. But I think you're on one to go out and tell people to be a bit better. That's for true. Because they could all be a lot better. Now, the only trap that we ourselves could fall into with that is by continually conceiving everybody beyond our immediate notice to be very evil, to be incapable. Because this puts us out of communication with the society. And we shouldn't conceive ourselves to be surrounded by this sprawling mass of relatively undisciplined, incapable people. We should conceive ourselves to be surrounded by a sprawling mass of potential people. And as long as we keep that in mind, we're on solid ground. But as soon as we say they're all bad, they're all bad, they're all bad, we also are saying to some degree there's nothing can be done about it. And we know that there is everything that can be done about it. Now, individuals are caught in the machinery of a society of custom, precedent, tradition, and they're ground to very fine bits. And one of our levels of attack is going to be against the educational system, since it isn't an educational system. We don't know what it is, but it's not an educational system. Maybe it's some other kind of system. To put a child in a classroom and to keep him there ad nauseum, endlessly, is a very, very terrible thing to do. The only reason people do that to him and are willing to do that to him is because of this misconception that he is a wild thing who has to be civilized or controlled in some fashion, and the best way to do it is to knock in his anchor points. No, he has been subjected to too much duress already, and his salvation would lie in the application of some such formula as this. For every hour in the classroom, an hour on the athletic field. One for one, at least. Two for one would probably be better than one for one. But if you're going to put a child in a classroom for an hour, you'd have to put him at least 1 hour on an athletic field. Now, this is a perfect solution to modern education. They do not have the buildings by 50%. They do not have the teachers by 50%, but they could get coaches. So, you send the child to school in the morning and put him on the athletic field in the afternoon, or put him on the athletic field in the morning and send him to school in the afternoon. Insist that he have one good meal a day, and you would have the stock necessary to continue a race. They don't have it now. It's an appalling thing to read the figures of physical disability amongst modern children. It's a very serious thing. During at the beginning of World War II, they were trying to get people squared away and into the armed services to pass physicals and so on, and they found an alarming percentage of the country was physically incapable by reason of bad diet and by reason of this and by reason of that. And it seems to me that if the state has to go into socialism simply to get good training for its children, I think they have sacrificed the end goal of freedom and decency for a stopgap just to get children fed well. That's one of the things that socialism promises, you know, is equal education and good food for everybody and all that sort of thing. And I think this country's capable right now of doing that. I have in the works a book called Creative Education, which will bring up all these factors. And I don't want you to be timid about shoving some of this material under the noses of principals and that sort of thing. This could carry us a very, very long way. This could be pretty exciting. Actually, that education could become a science is fairly exciting news anyway. The great oddity is the pre-logics are the axioms of education. And all I'm going to do in this book, besides advancing ideas and experience on child processing and how to put data across and the learning processes and that sort of thing, little material we developed since, is just to take these pre-logics, call them the axioms of education, and beat each one to death. And say that a teacher who doesn't know this is a schnook. And then make sure this one lands in every public library around the world, see? That could be quite a campaign all by itself. Now, that sort of thing is all grist to your mill. Certainly, to improve a country at large, some attention has to be paid to the immediate oncoming generation. Otherwise, they would grow up and undo all the work you had done. So you have to pay some attention to them. Now, there's another factor that goes along with this, and that is juvenile delinquency. And I don't believe you know this, but the FBI is hysterical, is totally hysterical on this subject. They do not talk logically to you anymore about it. Hysteria. The current issue of Newsweek magazine is a very good reference. They give diagrams in there of the juvenile gang murders, and they give in there the figures of crime increase in the juvenile department. Now, there isn't much you can do about it, they say. In other words, they're men without a solution and men standing in the confusion. If you have a little idle time, I would ask you to overcome your unwillingness to confront courts of law and cops, since they aren't too easy to get along with, and go down to the juvenile court and have a talk with a probation officer who's usually the most hysterical person present. Have a talk with a probation officer. Tell him you're a minister, you're interested in children, and you would just like to have some children to do some group processing with. New method of group therapy, you might say. You possibly could find considerable financial support in your area if you had any set of figures at all that would substantiate your efficacy in the field of juvenile delinquency. After that, you would move forward into the area of the judge, and you'd find the judge would be making statements such as are made to me occasionally by judges. Oddly enough, we sometimes ourselves get stuck on the time track about our position in the society or our representation in the society at this time. The battle is won at this time. It is won. It's won about the same way the Battle of Gettysburg was won on the second day, you see. There's an awful lot of shooting going on, and nobody has mopped up any of the mess. But people involved know that the battle is over. The seriousness with which a psychiatrist consulted on this assumes your immediate mention of the word Scientology tells you volumes. The head of a hospital out west, and I had a report on the head of a hospital up here in the east, almost said exactly the same things. They said, we'd be very happy to have you present in any capacity at all if it weren't for the fact that we would endanger our standing with the AMA, and we have to watch out because we know you're doing good work. Now, today, although violence could flare along this line, and it isn't all done at all, there has been a lot of which perhaps I have kept from you. A lot of randomity of one kind or another out in the public at large. One thing, there was no sense in bringing it up particularly. And the second thing, one was simply giving a communication line to a bunch of confusion when he did so. And the third thing, to bring it up, was to assume the role of defense, which I wasn't in mind to assume at all, because the only role I've ever assumed and the only one I understand is attack. That I find is successful. Now, it's sometimes foolish not to have somebody holding the fort while you attack. I've discovered that, too, but we're still here. Well, today, there are many interests afoot, many concerns in one way or another. People are entering the messianic level, which is described in Science of Survival. This is a bad piece of news which I give you. But as they enter it, for some reason or other, we're thought better and better of. People think better and better of us. And if we get stuck on the time track in believing that there are people around who just think Scientology is terrible, remember this, as a society sinks on the tone scale, they are more and more apt to protect the underdog. It takes several years of vilification to make a hero. And this, to some degree, has happened. This is almost a standard social cycle. We're just into the end of this cycle. And you'll all of a sudden... it won't be many, many years before. Maybe not even years. Tides like this have a tendency to turn rather fast when they turn. You're not at this moment looked down on, but you will find yourself very thoroughly looked up to. This has already happened. Looking down on a person has pretty well over. But looking up to is a new experience for you, and the only thing I would say if this starts to commence, and if you did manage to dig yourself out of a PE course or something like this and dig yourself out of what you were doing and exteriorize to the degree of going out and conducting a juvenile delinquency program. You know, by the way, all you have to do is get the names and addresses of people who support boys' clubs and that sort of thing, go around to see them, tell them you have a new program, ask them to write out the check. I mean, it can be done just as simply as that, you know. Because these people write out many large checks all the time just to see something happen, because they're interested in the society at large. But the point is that when you get up to a point, since I think there are here people who will not retread again, I don't see any need for most of you. I'll tell you this now in case I don't see you in the next year or so, and that's just this, is... beware of anoxemia. It is a dreadful disease which makes a person do foolish things when the air gets too thin. Pilots go up in airplanes, their masks slip off, they're too high, and they all of a sudden conceive themselves to be elsewhere, and they do silly things with the rudder and stick. It is very, very easy to support misfortune. That's rather simple. It's very, very easy to go out and slug away and work at it and hope and figure someday you might really get somewhere and amount to something. That's easy. Half starve to death and not have enough dough to do this and that with and owe a lot of money. That's easy. That's almost routine. The other one is the hard one to bear. Altitude. What humility it takes to survive altitude. I can tell you that from personal experience way back when. The last time I got a whammo out of being set up with altitude was so many years ago that I've forgotten all about it. And I had the experience of being a very well-known writer back in the middle 30s. And I found out at that time that it was very difficult to keep a check on myself so that I could continue to perform. And I had to get over it in a hurry. And I found out something, that it is much harder to survive good repute than bad. It's much harder to survive good fortune and plenty than misfortune. First place, it gives you very little to confront. You begin to run out of things to confront. Everybody all over a whole area is calling you and looking up to you, and the TV station wants to know if you'd come down and make an announcement on this national event of some kind or another, just so they'd have your opinion. That's a sad day. That's a sad day. So if you ever get the suspicion, that you've just grown the proper whiskers and halo to be Christ, for God's sakes, come and see me. It's easy to do when several thousand people start looking up to you. Now, I say that very prematurely. This is way before the time this will happen. That's why I'm saying it will sink in. One of these fine days. Well, it was nothing in the even in the early days of Buddhism for anybody that had any knowledge of the subject at all to be wined, dined, and feted halfway across India. You get the idea. Well, I'm not making a comparable line, but I'm telling you and repeating this. The society is going into a messianic level. If you want to know more about that, read Science of Survival and what it says on the subject. I have had 5 messiahs in communication with me in the past 2 months, and I haven't been looking for them. The weird part of it is they call me up and think they're reporting to headquarters. If this doesn't make a liar out of me, nothing will. But this is getting just a little bit wild. Now, this has been happening to me here and there and so forth. Very peculiar. Fellow the other day in New York City, former bartender, all of a sudden got the word. And he was telling me about the next 300 years and the various orders and so forth. And he defined what this was all about. It was total surrender to predestination. That was it. If you made a total surrender to predestination, you had it made. In other words, the country is entering into fatalistic lines. Now, that's quite remarkable. It's quite remarkable because I've never heard fatalism in this country before. But that's fatalism. This fellow had just gotten the word, and he was on his way. When you mock up anything as formidable as an A-bomb, then people can see no more future than they can see. Even though they don't understand it, they begin to turn around and find some way which is the short road to heaven. Now, you are the only qualified messiahs in the world today. Be so confoundedly easy for you to turn in your shirt for a white robe that it isn't even funny. Now, I'm speaking to you a little bit ahead of the fact. This hasn't really come out to a tremendous big thing in the society yet. It's really not totally visible. You're going to find people turning more and more to churches. You're going to find people more and more. Somebody suddenly stands up and says, "Hallelujah, I've got the word." And everybody turns around and say, "What is it, for God's sakes?" Only they will not be the intellectuals which turned to Dianetics and Scientology. They will be the emotional, worried, anxious people. It's a good thing we wrapped up far south, because to salvage one of those boys when he's three-quarters spun in is a job I wouldn't wish on anybody. So I'm speaking to you, perhaps prematurely, by some long, large period of time. But nevertheless, you see what I'm talking about. So keep your head, keep it sane, because it's dead easy, and I don't think there's any person here who wouldn't. But I'm telling you, very, very bluntly, that you are the only qualified messiahs. You're qualified. Why are you qualified? Do you realize you're the only people that have any understanding or reality on the hereafter? Well, what more do you want? Do you realize that if you read down the list of all the messages brought by messiahs in former times, that you have the answers to each and every one of them? What's that make you? And yet you don't have those things because I've stood up and lectured to you and yacked at you and so forth, because I told you consistently, find out. And if you've got any information on this subject, you've got it for real. So you're not even taking it secondhand. So you're perfectly qualified messiahs. And I'm not going to issue a certificate to that effect. I think you have done extremely well, by the way. Extremely well in this particular unit. We have had a great deal of fun with this unit. I mean, everything has been very alert, rolling down the line very fast. And this unit, now that it's over, has confirmed or accumulated the information necessary to publish the student manual. Now, I don't think you knew this, but the student manual was being held up until this ACC was over. And it's sitting on my desk, right back of my desk, in its dummy cover, with all of its typographical work done. We've even paid the printer, so he's more or less willing to have it. And it's all ready to go. Except it was waiting for the end of this unit and the rewrite which would occasion. And it's a good thing we did. Good thing we did. There are quite a few changes. One of the things which got reworked rather thoroughly has been your discussion of and handling of auditing commands. We found several commands are relatively infeasible, and we have to put out a whole new command sheet. Why didn't I put it out 3 weeks ago? I didn't know the new commands all the way down the line. For instance, I just last night, after your comments and so forth, late last night, found the proper command for locational. It's with that body's eyes, notice that wall, which makes one able to himself look at the wall and then also make the body look at the wall too. And there's a double entendre on this word with. All right, so that's a workable command that goes all the way north. Evidently, give me that hand has its complexities to which you have objected, but it's nevertheless too complicated a command if it does much more than that, so we're torn between complication and factuality. Now, nevertheless, this will probably be the command that appears on the command sheet. Give me that hand. And so it is with all these other CCH steps. Now I'm going to sum up information on this. and do something with it. And I'm going to ask you to jot down, please now, we've learned a lot here, jot down any little item you think I should... Now, don't assume that I have already gotten this on some comm line, you understand? But anything that you think that I should know about training TRs or commands, wording of, would you please do that? Would you give me anything like that? Now, you've learned quite a bit in coaching, and I'm asking you very sincerely now to try to give me the benefit of some of that information. I've got to tear into it here this next week and finish off the student manual because Dr. Steves is panting hotly on the back of my neck. It's very funny. We have a very beautiful cover for it. It's gorgeous. I'll bring it down to the party tonight and show you the dummy. Beautiful. Prettiest thing you ever laid your eyes on. And he can't tear it out of my hands. I'm making sure that this one's going to be right for a while. Now, this is the manual which you will be using in order to instruct people through HAS courses and validation courses and so forth. You get that? Now, I'm sorry that it won't be ready for about 5 weeks, but that's better than never. And it has entrance check sheets in it, all the facts of Scientology. It has all this. It's been terrifically worked out. It's a working manual. It's between hard covers. Now, I'll tell you one more thing about it. It's terribly expensive so that we can sell it to you inexpensively. You got that? Oh, you got it. In other words, you shouldn't cut your own throat to the degree of just handing this manual out or something of the sort. It actually should, this manual should make it to some degree possible for you to buy other books and to have other publications which you do give away. You got that? The manual is very worthwhile. There is nothing of its kind in Scientology. There's nothing like it. It contains all the axioms there have ever been. It contains factors. It contains sign-up sheets. It contains just stuff. The old cues, pre-logics. All of the TRs, all of their B, C, D, and E versions. Just a landslide of factual material. All right, I don't know what the printing price on that particular book will be. That's one of the determining factors. But the book will be made quite expensive, and it will be sold to you for very little above its printing price. Therefore, you can turn around and sell it to a student. And then you can have some money to buy publications with. Do you understand that? All right. I've already talked to you about running a PE course, and I'm going to work tomorrow on one particular item. The ability, which is going to carry all of your names and addresses. Talk about groups, the HAS certificate, group programs, that sort of thing. You already are aware of the fact that the policy of my policy will be to validate you. That is to say, in worse than just a wafer, my policy will be to treat you as individuals to be respected and recourse had to wherever you may be. You realize that's my policy?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you probably want to know something about wafers. The instructors have already graded all of the wafers. And those have been set up, and set up very nicely, and will be released tomorrow after your tests are available. There isn't one of those that is below tops that isn't rather easily repairable, and you will get a note on that tomorrow, anything that has to be done to up the grade of the certificate. Now, those things will not come forward for my review until next week sometime. And when all of the material is there, why, we will have that squared around, and actually, I don't expect otherwise than we will have eventually a 100% gold seal sweep here. It's not that now. It's not that now, because there's got to be some things done by people before they can, as the instructors have informed me, and I have no particulars on this at all. You will know all about this, and it's not very bad news. But I have some very good news here, and I'll just pass these out, and you just pass them right back through to the person, would you, sitting back here? We have course completion. I noticed that, did I put some tension on you when I told you that you wouldn't know about this till tomorrow noon?
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you how to do this. I'll tell you how to get off of a maybe. Just consider that you flunked and that you're going to get no certificate and that it's probably going to take you a couple of weeks to get this repaired somehow or another. And you'll have the worst news that is in the pile. Got that. All right. Now, these are your course completion letters. And you will be interested in having these. These have a value in themselves because of the material going out in ability. Now, in view of the fact that you get additional things sent to you, and so on. As a matter of fact, you'll get your ACC packet, which always comes in after an ACC, with your proper case histories, if they haven't been submitted, and anything else that has to be filled out, usually some class pictures. And there's a lot of stuff, undoubtedly a copy of an ability that's carrying the material in it. A lot of this material, which comes to you, if it isn't straight, you for sure let the HCO know. You understand? You let the HCO know. Do you understand that? I repeat it. Let the HCO know. Let us stay in the routine channels until they break down. You let me know. Now, we have a very, very good party coming up here tonight. And I am now going upstairs and arrange a FAC-1 machine so I can get all of your pictures. I wanted to get the class pictures. Now, one of the things that was fairly interesting in earlier ACCs, we always took people at the beginning, always took them in their class clothes, and never had a prayer, you see, of getting nice, shiny pictures, because they would be all re-stimulated and everything. But this time, why, we reversed it and decided to take the pictures at the party. So, I will get all of your pictures tonight. So I trust you will all be there.
Early in the party.
Early, you said it. You'll miss it if you're not there at 8 straight up.
Okay.
Got it now.
Yeah.
It's been a terrific pleasure having you here. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.